Random House presents Bitter Chocolate, Child Sexual Abuse in India by Pinky Virani, read by Zenobia Modi. Acknowledgement. When your publisher tells you it is India and her subcontinent's first book on the subject, what can you leave out? More important, how much can you compress? When is basic information too basic and additional information an overload, even if it is a first time? This is where commissioning editor Raj Kamini Mahadevan comes in. An important fort of an author's battle is conquered through the bloodless blue pencil of skilled editing. Thanks, Amma Mahadevan. And thank you, Big D. David Davidar, Chief Executive Officer, Penguin Books, for funding this research and investigation. Research was initially facilitated by Child Relief and You and R. Lakshmi in their documentation department, who inundated me with tons of reference material in those few weeks. I decided against doing a booklet after that point. But columnist Ashok Banker and the husband-wife journalist team, Nikhil Wagle and Meena Karnik, insisted I follow through with detailed investigation to write a book as simply as possible on such a subject. Journalist Sheila Rawal provided her perspective. Veena Lakhumalani at the British Council in Calcutta and the Mumbai British Council and Library assisted in enormous measure. That repository of Stri Shakti in the form of books at what is perhaps India's only by women, for women library, Vacha, continuously challenged and provoked my thought processes. Those special officers in the Mumbai police unofficially networked with their counterparts in the emerging metros of India to get this book, apart from case histories which churn the stomach and sicken the soul, a definitive idea of the statistical prevalence of child sexual abuse in our country. And police officer Dr. Kiran Bedi, who is so spontaneously suggested that I speak to the women prisoners in Tihar jail when I met and told her about the connection between child sexual abuse and women growing up to be convicts. I thought a lot about Dr. Bedi's offer when I returned home. I visualized how effectively I could do it and how this could turn out to be a pilot project in India. So tempting. Then I realized I would re-victimize the women by talking to them about their sexual abuse in childhood, after which I would simply walk out of the jail, leaving them with awful memories, which they might be revealing for the first time in their lives, and with no friend or counselling facility to comfort them. But thank you, Dr. Bedi, and thank you all, truly. Of course, I am grateful to each and everyone mentioned in this book for their input, including the mental health professionals, especially Anita Ratnam, and the adult and child psychiatrists, especially Dr. Shekhar Seshadri, who have unstintingly given of their time and patience. As I am to those who must remain unnamed because some identities and places have been changed for their protection. Except for the founder of the gay movement in India, Ashok Rao Kavi, I must also protect the identities of the homosexuals and lesbians who forwarded my emails to each other, introduced me to their friends through their gay colleagues all over the country, and allowed a straight, like me, an insight into their private pain as adults who were once children. And how do I slot those wonderful people who helped me simply because? Some said It was the subject matter of the book. Others helped as random acts of kindness, like the editor Gayatri Devi Vasudev and filmmaker-playwright Chetan Shah. None of them, far too many to mention, expected anything in return. All of them wished me well. They gave me solid advice along with phone numbers. They ensured that I got invited to relevant seminars. They checked out specialists in their cities and promptly emailed, faxed, and phoned with the information. They couriered me books and mailed me Xeroxes. They fed my mind, and sometimes they even wound up feeding me on my investigative travels, beginning with a comfortingly hot chai, Brunpao Maska, at the Majlis office. Bless you for encouraging me so selflessly. I guess you were God's way of reminding me that even though such enormous evil exists, the world turns on the axis of its good people. N.B. Mumbai has been spelt with two I's for a reason in this book. Numerologically, if you believe in these things, a single I spells disaster. The two I's work to some advantage, though the most beneficial was the original, Bombay. My earlier book, Once Was Bombay, has the details. But more to the point, the present spelling leads to a mispronunciation of the city's name. International television channels refer to the city as Mumbai, when it should be pronounced in its authentic Marathi way, Mumbai, like Hawaii. Chennai gets pronounced correctly because of the two N's. I also consider the spelling as Mumbai to not be incorrect. After the name change, it has yet to be decided how my city's name is to be spelt in English. In Marathi and Hindi, it has always been written as Mumbai, the long E or the Dirgh. Typical that those who clamoured short-sightedly for this unnecessary name change should orphan this crucial international element of the issue.
Author's note. Dear reader, you have looked at the cover of this book, you have looked at its back cover, and the question you might want to ask of me is this: have you been sexually abused in your childhood? I shall be as direct. Yes. I could tell you at this point about the most mystical marrying of an author with her or his subject matter. I could then explain how it is me who has wound up doing this book instead of someone else. I would not be lying as I lay out my procession of thought before you to consider. My first book, Aruna's Story, is about the politics of rape and the rape of women. Penguin publisher David Davidar read my newspaper article on the nurse Aruna Shanbag's 50th birthday while she lay in a semi-coma, a quarter of a century after she had been raped, and asked me to develop it into a book. My second book, Once Was Bombay, is about the communal politics in what was once India's premier city and the gang rape of it by politicians. This book is about the rape of an entire childhood, of scores of innocently unsuspecting children in the upper and middle class homes of India. But I would also be truthful when I say this. I have no compulsion to tell the world about the sexual abuse in my childhood. I refuse to be a victim. This I have attempted in all spheres of my life. Each time one falls down, one must simply pick up oneself after weeping a bit, brush away the tears and dirt, and move on. That's the spirit. The flesh, though, responds to its body's nervous system. The nervous system and its intricate, treacherous circuitry, which begins sending out signals the moment a man or a woman sexually abuses a child. I had, and still have, to deal with my, I hate the use of the personal pronoun in this context, abuser. And it is only now
Sample complete. Ready to continue?